In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, so much of my preaching, and indeed the preaching of all priests, is to be clear as to the relationship of Scripture to our daily lives, to assist us into putting into practice the words of wisdom that we hear in Scripture, and of course the Word himself that we receive in the Most Holy Eucharist. But as we begin now our season of Passiontide, it is less about us and most importantly about God. Precisely because these days, these two coming weeks particularly, are given to us precisely in order that we can enter into the mystery of the triune God. This is, after all, why all of this exists. Yes, it is about how we live here on earth, and indeed it is conforming ourselves, configuring ourselves to the mystery of the Lord's cross. But we do all the things that we do as Catholic men and women, not in and of themselves, but as a manifestation of the God who is inside of us and that desire that we have in this life to live with him in the life to come. This simply is not the end of our existence. God himself has made that very clear. He goes before us to prepare a place for us that where he is, we may also be. That journey to heaven begins here and now in the manner in which you live your life. But that manner in which you live your life only makes sense if you know Christ, who he is, the reason for his coming, and what is indeed had been revealed in him. And so as we listen to sacred scripture each passing day, as we grow closer and closer to sacred triduum, the church will draw our attention to the tension that the Lord himself has with the Pharisees, the scribes, and the teachers of the law. They have become bold now, accusing our Lord himself of being a liar. He who is truth incarnate, truth itself, is accused by those around him of being a liar as he preaches truth. And the reason why they are so bold, is that they themselves are steeped in sin. So caught up are they in their own weakness and their own sin that they cannot see truth right there in front of them. And so how do they respond? They respond by denying truth himself. The Lord, though, is not deterred, and he continues to engage them in order that he might provide for them a full understanding of who he is and the glory that exists in him. Again, they persist in dishonoring him, and in so doing, as he himself makes clear, dishonoring our heavenly Father. He goes on to remind them at the end that he indeed is greater than Abraham, and Abraham himself, our father in faith, look forward to that day when he would see the coming of the glory of the Lord. They find him altogether too much to take, and they seek to stone him to death. But now is not the time. And so we are required to simply sit with this. Yes, to a degree it is applicable to us because we too are liars. We too refuse to hear and embrace the truth. We too deny the Lord. But more importantly, it is simply sitting in absence and in silence. In truth, brothers and sisters, the whole of salvation history unfolds to a certain degree in silence and obscurity. From that first moment of creation, to which there are no witnesses but God himself, to God's interactions with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his intimate conversations with Moses and the prophets, that beautiful exchange between the angel Gabriel and our Blessed Mother, and now the mystery of the Lord himself unfolds with very few witnesses. And those passers-byers, those who see, those who mock and ridicule, truly cannot be called witnesses because they do not understand and they do not truly see. The Church provides us in Passiontide liturgically, as our Church is beautifully adorned, this absence of these images that have assisted us and do assist us throughout the liturgical year, drawing our attention to our Lord crucified, the angels and the saints assisting him, Saint Joseph and our Blessed Mother. All that is taken away from us so that our minds and our hearts may focus on that which matters and that which matters alone. Our Lord and Savior, who draws us into relationship with the Father and reveals to us the Holy Spirit. This is why God has come. Yes, for the expiation of sins, that we might be made right in relationship with him, But that expiation of sins was not merely a restoration to that time when Adam and Eve were in the garden. It is a much greater reality. That happy fault, that necessary sin, where now we are elevated to the dignity of being called sons and daughters and must live accordingly. What the Lord provides for us in revealing the face of the Father is the depth of the love that God has for us. You must allow yourself the time you need to contemplate the depth of that love. If you feel somehow that you are worthy of it, somehow that is God's natural inclination and he should simply bestow it upon you, then you are emptying it of its content and its power, because you are not deserving of that love. And yes, while God certainly is love himself, he is free to choose how he might manifest and share that love. We know now that it comes through Christ. But again, our minds, so feeble and limited as they are, must take the time needed to contemplate the depth of this love. Because juxtaposed next to that love made manifest in Christ is your sin, your weakness, and your failure, your constant rejection of that love by the manner in which you live your life. And yet the love never disappears. The love is never withheld. The Lord continues to forgive you your sins, come to you most especially in the Holy Sacrifice, and invite you yet again into deeper relationship with him. If these are hard things to hear, to recognize our sinfulness, I simply cannot apologize, because they are the truth. And that is what I am required to do as well, to preach truth to you and to me and to all who hear. Because we are weak and frail and we are sinful, oftentimes be steeped in it so much so that like our forebears, we are blind to God himself when he appears before us. We are blind to the God himself who is present with us now, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But now pause, and in quiet and in silence, contemplate what it is that is about to unfold and your role in our Lord's sacrifice, suffering, and the shedding of his blood. But realize all of this has been done not only that your sins might be forgiven, but that truly you might love God in this life in order that you might love him forever in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.